141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. After another blockbuster weekend in Scottish football, Celtic are all but champions after sweeping Hearts aside. Europa League final bound Rangers can match the Hoops point total after they beat Dundee United, but the goal difference looks insurmountable. And if it's all but sewn up at the top, then the same might be said for Dundee's relegation fate at the bottom. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans.
Congratulations to Ange Postecoglou on his second Manager of the Year award. The Tannadice is now the place to be on Wednesday night. A draw or a win, and Celtic are officially, arithmetically, finally, the champions. Meanwhile, 9 days to go to Seville. The migration of Rangers fans to Seville is set to get underway, but only after they've come up against Andy Halliday and Hearts on Saturday. Halliday is the benchmark.
I'm not sure if I'd agree with that, but
yeah, you meant you're going to be on the bench.
Yeah, probably he's full of digs at me these days, isn't he? But yeah, well, listen, it looks as if it's going to be part of time for Celtic on Tuesday at Tannadice and Dundee. The future looks all but secured down to the Championship. And I've got to say, when we talk about there's going to be some fluctuation in the European places, it's a happy weekend for Mr. Gordon.
Absolutely. And it's going to be awkward when you miss the Scottish Cup final because you're sunburnt lying on a beach in Spain somewhere.
It's a false rumour, that.
Yeah, I've seen that. A few people have sent me that. Just make sure you're back in time. We can't have any of those accusations flying around. Right, 0141 951 1025. We're nearly there, believe it or not. It's been a quick season. We are nearly there in the Scottish Premiership, which means we've nearly got an official champion. Everybody knows Celtic are going to win now. I think that's safe to say. But it needs to wait until Wednesday night for it to become official after the weekend. But they did do their part of the weekend. A very convincing victory against Andy Halliday's Hearts side. It might have been even more if he was playing. We will never know. So get your calls in, Celtic fans. How does it feel to be champions but not have the C next to you on the league table just yet? Sum up your weekend. Rangers fans, you probably just want to talk about Seville, and that's understandable. So you're more than welcome to do that. Did it matter at all yesterday to delay Celtic in any way, or is that an irrelevance? What about the youngsters that played yesterday? How impressed were you with them? Pick up the phone and let us know. We'll try our best to get through all the talking points from a busy weekend, but we need you to join us. 0141 951 1025. Get your thoughts in right now, please. Hugh Keevans, Andy Halliday, it's decision time. Result of the weekend:
Bonnyrigg Rose 3.
Oh, he's gone outside the box.
Cowdenbeath nil. Okay. You can't stay in a division just because you've always been there. You can't just stay in the SPFL because you've always been there. It's an evolving game, and Bonnyrigg Rose surely now will come into the SPFL at the expense of Cowdenbeath.
Look at this guy, he's a student of the game. He's thinking beyond the top flight. What are you
going
for?
I do like that, Hugh. The Scottish pyramid certainly made for the better now after recent changes, but I've got to give you your flowers, man.
Yes,
when the time
finally
comes, I'm going to go Motherwell. They go up to Dingwall, who've, you know, at Ross County side, have provided a lot of entertainment, some good results over the last couple of months, and Motherwell produced their first away win in years, I think, Gordon Duncan, and it takes them into that fifth spot. Sorry, so good on them.
Thank you. Recognition when it's due. Goal of the weekend:
I'm going Curtis Main for St Mirren. Goal number two against Dundee.
Some hit, wasn't it?
There were worries about Stephen Robinson after his move to Paisley, but he's getting his mark on the side now, and Curtis Main delivered the goods.
Andy?
I was going to say Ellis Simmons, but I'd rather not talk about that game and try and avoid it as much as we can. So I'll go for Ahmed Diallo. I think his chances have been few and far between, but took his goal superbly well. It was a quick counter attack from Rangers, and Scala laid it on a plate for him. Lovely finish.
Yeah, good build up as well, to be fair. Right, I've got one in my head, right? And this
Who's
is
going first?
This is a promise that will please the nation if you manage to make this happen. I'm done. I will walk out of this studio if one of you doesn't pick the obvious howler from this weekend.
I've got to go for it. A Charlie Adam pass back.
I knew it.
It's like a Hugh Keevans prediction. That's the biggest condemnation I can deliver.
What is he thinking? Why did he do that? And you can apply those to Hugh Keevans and Charlie Adam and that. You can't argue with that.
No,
well, that needs always, to be a unanimous one, doesn't it?
He's always had lovely crossing into Charlie Adam, so
just bored of doing it at the other end.
Listen, I ain't going to top that, I don't think, but I'll go for my uncle Bobby Madden. You know, I think people seem to think that we've got a great relationship, but I don't know if you've seen the decision, mm-hmm. Hugh, at Easter Road, where he gives a Lewis Ferguson almost gets booted in the head at the edge of the box, but he gives the free kick for Hibs. 30 seconds later, changes it to Aberdeen, and after a minute of confusion, the free kick ends up being taken for Aberdeen.
Is he the cup final referee now?
I don't know. I'll ask him when I'm babysitting his kids tomorrow.
01419511025. Come on, let's hear from you. Whether it is about the title race, how do you all feel about it? Where everyone knows that it's done, but it's not. Celtic fans, how would you sum up the weekend? Rangers fans, did it matter yesterday to delay things, or is it just in the back burner now with all eyes on Seville? And do you know what, all we've had all weekend is sort of travel stories, ticket stories, all the rest of it. We're here for that, it's all good fun. So if that's what's on your mind tonight, let's do it. There was a game yesterday where it was party time. Some youngsters came in. What did you make of them? Did they leave an impression? Does that give you food for thought going forward? Whatever it is tonight, come on, let's hear it. 0141 951 1025. We will start yesterday. We'll work our way back. Giovanni Van Bronckhor says it was important to keep the standards high against Dundee United. He says they're focusing on being in a good place for the Europa League final.
Very pleased because, you know, it's the last 2 weeks of the season, and of course we have two major last games, you know, with the Europa League final and the Cup final. So, you know, we want to keep going. You know, we want to make sure we have everyone on board on Wednesday in a week for the remaining two games we play. So, very happy that we could change some players today. Some players made minutes. You know, we could give some minutes to our academy players. And in the end, you know, we wanted the result and we wanted to keep our level of playing. And I think we achieved that today. You know, we know the league was, you know, very, very difficult to achieve, especially when we drew at Celtic. And so in that way, you know, we're not looking at them. We want to make sure we have our best version in the Europa League final.
Did it matter to Rangers to at least, can you know, make Celtic do it on their own terms yesterday, Andy? Or does the appearance of Seville on the horizon mean that none of that really comes into the equation anymore?
I don't think there's any doubt that one eye will certainly be on that final on the 18th, but I'm sure that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will be wanting his players to continue with that winning mentality and winning form to keep the confidence up going into the final. But I think the most important factor and the most pleasing thing for the manager and the fans after the weekend must be the introduction of the three academy players. I thought all three of them were excellent. Leon King, very assured. I think he's been in around the first team for a couple of years now, but I think that's only his second start, and I thought he was excellent from the first whistle. And then the introduction of Alex Lowry and Charlie McCann. Obviously Charlie McCann won Academy Player of the Year, so fully deserves to be given his chance towards the end of the game. And Alex Lowry, for me, just any time I've seen him in the Rangers jersey, just looks as if he belongs at that level. So I think it's food for thought for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst going into, not only for towards the end of the season, but for next year.
Let's bring in Andy then, who's a Rangers fan. What did you make of yesterday, Andy? Did it matter? What was learned? What was gained?
I thought it was a bit of a dead rubber for me. I wasn't at the match. My son was at the game with his pal yesterday. But no, I never seen. I seen the highlights on Sportscene last night. That's about it. So can't really say much about it.
But I mean, yeah, that's the balance of play. What about the sort of, I mean, the title race? If there is still such a thing, did it matter to you to make Celtic wait a bit longer, or is that becoming an irrelevance?
Nah, it's an irrelevance to me. I don't know about other Rangers fans, but the title was gone after Ibrox for me. So
it was a perfect day for Rangers, for the reasons that Andy Halliday outlined. You got academy players showing what they can do. There was the win for Rangers. They did not concede the title to Celtic on their own ground. It doesn't matter to Andy on the line, but it matters to a lot of Rangers supporters. I just thought that Dundee United were a dreadful disappointment. There was absolutely no intensity about them, no threat. They had taken 5 points from Rangers over the course of the season, but they could have played until Tuesday and not done anything against them.
Producer Callum's in tears in after that.
I was surprised about Dundee United's approach. I think when you look at some of the games they've played against Old Firm this year, they have been a bit more expressive. They tried to go and take points. They obviously got a one-each draw at Parkhead, and The other game at Celtic Park was a last minute winner from Abada, and you know, a couple of games that they've played against Rangers, they've obviously took points against them at Tannadice on both occasions. But for me yesterday, just looked as if there was no real intention for the start of the game to go and get something from it, and Rangers were extremely comfortable.
Andy, it can't be often that you get to May and you can still arithmetically do something in the title race, but you describe it as an irrelevance. I think I know why. It's a certain game next Wednesday night. What are you thinking ahead of that one?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm phoning up. So honestly, I'm on the way home to work today and I get an email to Rangers. I've managed to get two tickets for this final, but my son's not got a passport. I can't actually believe it.
Oh no. Hugh.
And I don't even want to watch it with my son.
Honestly, listen, Andy, I'll give you £40 for a tour.
Did you think he had a passport? Did it come as a surprise to you?
No, it's not. I just didn't expect Rangers to get this far.
Yeah.
And I can't actually believe it. I'm sitting on the bus coming home from work today, taking my inbox, email for Rangers, telling you it's gave me two access codes, download UEFA's ticketing app, whatever. Typed in the two access codes, and even better, they're actually complimentary tickets. They've costed nothing. They're category 4 complimentary tickets. Apparently 10% of Rangers fans got complimentary tickets.
I'm worried about the next couple of weeks. We had one yesterday. I don't like these hard luck stories because I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes. Yeah, very good. I get the joke there, that what chance am I ever reaching a European final? Right, get that out of the way. That doesn't sound good, but that's an understatement.
I can understand and sympathise with Andy how he feels right now, but I don't understand that. Complimentary tickets for a European final.
I'm sure I did read something about that from... elaborate on that, Andy. What's the story again?
So I've got the email in front of me, actually. I'm going to read it out to you. So, we are pleased to offer you a ticket for the Europa League Cup final, as you have 1,511 plus MyGears points. Tickets will be sold directly by UEFA via their ticket and website thing. You have till 9 a.m. on Tuesday the 10th of May, which I've already purchased them. And now I've basically got the email for UEFA saying that I've purchased the tickets, and they send you a QR code a couple of days before the game or something. I'm absolutely gutted. I mean, I could up sticks and go tomorrow, but I'll be leaving my son.
You tempted.
Oh, I'm absolutely gutted.
Are you tempted, Andy? Will he talk to you again?
No, probably not.
Well, I remember in 2008 when my mum and dad were saying, listen, we're going to take you can forget about your maths exam because I don't think this is ever going to happen again in your lifetime. And what do you know, 14 years later, so you never know, Andy. It might be the Europa League final again next year.
Are you sure it wasn't, like, maths is not going to be your bag, son?
Well,
so
if you ask me to do a quick sum just now, you'll see the answer.
There's a few things going through my head. I hope it's not some sort of scam that's got Andy's hopes up. It sounds pretty legit. He's reading out the wording of it. I'm not a ticketing expert.
They're non-transferable.
I don't know. We've become the ticket office.
Yeah, I'll message him after and we'll find out if it's non-transferable.
Yeah, Andy Halliday's scribbling down Andy in Edinburgh's number here because he's going to try and... I mean, it can't be for you, obviously. You've got a big game
for. No, but I know.
The family asking questions, are they?
For sure.
The family been pestering you?
Oh, aye. Plenty.
You can just imagine the Ranger team currently going, Halliday on the phone, no thanks. Know what he's after. Speak to him in a couple of weeks.
I'm sure Andy and his son will feel a lot better if Rangers do get a result, I'd imagine.
Something like that. Andy, take care. Keep us up to speed on it, will you?
Okay, guys.
Good man. That was Andy in Edinburgh. Oh, my goodness. What about Trevor in Motherwell? How are you, Trevor?
Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind tonight?
You better listen to the book.
Oh, sometimes the phone signal in Motherwell is a bit dodgy. We'll get him back in a second. Let's hear just a quick bit more from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst while we line Trevor up. He was speaking about being pleased at rotating the squad yesterday and sharing a moment with the fans at full time.
I think we have to. I mean, big games coming up, you know, but you want to keep going as well. So it's like you find the right balance in between keep the momentum going, but also at times make sure we can rest some players. You know, if you felt the emotion, the atmosphere after the game, you know, I think we would want it to keep on the pitch for 1 hour. You know, the atmosphere was good because I think we celebrated together the achievement we had, and so it was lovely to feel. Of course, in the aftermath, you still people are talking about the final, and we are working towards the final. So, but you know, in the end, we don't have achieved anything yet. Because we want to have the trophies as well, and that's why we're gonna prepare well. We're gonna work hard and make sure we can, you know, add some silverware to our cabinet.
What do you make of what Rangers did with the squad yesterday, Andy, and what they, you know, may or may not do in the coming weeks? Did James Tavernier and Conor Goldson just never get a rest? Yeah. Is that the way it's going to work?
Well, I think the only rest James Tavernier is going to get from the end of the season does seem as if it's going to be that last 25 minutes where he sat out and another academy player in young Adam Devine came on. But I mean, the minutes that James Tavernier and Conor Goldson have put up over the last two or three seasons has been nothing short of incredible. So it will be interesting to see if they get rotated on Wednesday. But in terms of the other changes that were made, I do think it was important that Aaron Ramsey came back in and got some minutes, because you never know if he's going to be in Gio's plans in terms of making a starting berth in the Europa League final. And I thought he was lively in spells. I thought his pass for the penalty was excellent. Something that you expect a bit more of when it comes to a player of his calibre. And for me, Fashion Sakala is another one. I think he divides a lot of opinions, but I do feel as if any time he's got a jersey, he's always looked lively, always looked as if he's going to be in amongst the goals, and I thought he impressed again.
I mean, Hugh, it was clear the intention yesterday. No Alan McGregor. We know, yeah, Ryan Jack had a knock anyway. I think Ryan Kent sat it out, and obviously Joe Rebo took the knock, Lundstrom. So the intention was clear. It just so happens that apparently Tavernier and Goldson just don't count. They don't come into that bracket. But for everyone else, you could see what the aim was.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has a balancing act to perform here. He's got to make sure that they're conserving energy, but at the same time, fitness standards don't drop. So, you know, it'll be that way with regard to get Tavernier and Goldson. They play all these games. Their fitness seems to be impeccable. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Thank you to... Well, we're going to get Trevor back, actually. He's got a good Seville story, so we'll do that next. Keep your calls coming in, Celtic fans. A very convincing performance. Andy Halliday, I don't think, was too impressed by it, but I'm sure you were, so pick up the phone and let him know all about it.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I've had a tsunami of tweets in. PR sent me one. Peter Downey as well. Robert Bamford. Peter Downey saying the caller is 100% correct. I've got a complimentary ticket as well, as did a few of my mates. The not so clever ones paid €65 for theirs, apparently. Well, I think some people will be paying a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. Right, I think we've got Trevor back. Trevor, what was your point? We cut you off just in your prime.
Well, I'm one of the unlucky ones that paid the £65, because my son, he got one today and it was a complimentary he got.
Surely you'll go halfers, will he not?
He'll be paying for mine, I'll tell you, the money I spent his flight there to get him home.
Where's he from?
He's in North California at the moment. He's sort of his college and up his football over there. So he's having to get a run. His mate's taking him up to Medford Airport. So then he's got to go from Medford to San Francisco. He then goes from San Francisco to Dublin. He comes from Dublin to Glasgow. I pick him up at Glasgow, and we couldn't get any flights from Glasgow to Alicante. So we're then driving to Manchester to get a flight to Alicante. Then we get the car there, we do it to Torrey Beck, we get a house down there, stay there for a couple of days, and then I've got a 5-hour bus journey with the bus, with the club to Seville, and then back again.
You must be leaving the next couple of days.
When's he leaving, Trevor?
He's leaving on Saturday. He's leaving on Saturday for California. Well, he start his journey, let's say, and we leave. He comes in on Sunday evening at Glasgow. So he'll get a couple of hours kip, and then we need to drive down to Manchester on Monday. And then the fun begins.
Hugh, without trying to sound all, like, you know, gushy about it, but that is the reality. It clearly is sort of life-altering events for people when you get to something of this size. Yeah. You know, Andy mentioned Manchester, which was a bit closer. Celtic fans had their experiences of Seville, and that's before we go back to the other more famous ones back in the day, so to speak. But people are never going to forget the lengths they had to go to for the 90-minute experience.
Yeah, I was on the programme on the night that Celtic beat Boa Vista to make the final in Seville against Porto, and I said then on the programme that the biggest migration of football supporters ever seen would take place. And it did. And people joke about how many were in Seville, but there were 80,000 people there. It was like an optical illusion. There were so many hoop jerseys, it was like an optical illusion in the sun. And the same migration will take place, whether it's Trevor's boy coming back from North Carolina,
California, let's be specific here.
Oh, beg your pardon. And the circuitous route that they are taking to get to Seville, the story will be repeated over and over again, and it will be the biggest migration since Celtic went to Seville.
So what's the script, Trevor? Because Rangers actually played a game yesterday, but is everyone too focused on their travel plans to have paid much attention?
To be honest, you're not really bothered about this season anyway. You know, you done it last season, you stopped, what was it, 9 3/4, and then we bigger fish to fry in a week and go and do in Seville what they couldn't they? Now, you know, that's a better season. I think we'll have a better season.
Well, if there's work to be done, it needs to be won, of course, Hugh.
Well, you know, we have to allow the supporters of both clubs to have their own view on this. The Celtic supporters will take the view that Ange Postecoglou winning the league title, two Manager of the Year awards, accounts for a magnificent season from their perspective. Trevor is putting forward Rangers' case, and if Rangers win the European Cup, Europa League, rather, it will be an amazing achievement. The last Scottish club to win a European trophy, Aberdeen, 1983, 45 years ago. That's how big an achievement. No, it's not. 39 years ago. That's how big an achievement.
Don't ask me, I miss my maths.
I know.
Question for you, Hugh. Rangers' greatest ever achievement if they win it?
Yes. It's bigger than Barcelona for me.
Yeah.
Because, and no disrespect to John Gregg and Derek Johnson and all the people I knew so well, this is bigger because football is now a matter of imbalance. It's about the haves and the have-nots. It's about the distance created between the five superpowers in England and Spain and Germany and Italy and France and Scotland. Yeah. Scotland's not supposed to provide European finalists anymore. 14 years ago, Walter Smith did get them there, but it's not supposed to happen anymore. So with the greatest respect to John Gregg and to Derek and everyone else, this is bigger.
The disparity in finances now compared to 1972 is, I mean, it's just a different level.
But Scottish football's all out of sorts because of this at the top when we're talking about the big two. I know that fans will do this and say, oh, but our season's better than theirs. We don't quite know yet because Rangers either win this or they don't. And that's, you know, two very different outcomes. And getting there is obviously a wonderful achievement, as everyone's pointed out. Celtic fans are more than entitled to be delighted with their lot, considering they were getting absolutely slaughtered at the start of the season. They'll never win this. It could be even, you know, it could be years now in the rebuild. Ange, who sacked by Christmas, so on and so forth.
Well, whether as there could be two sides to the debate, one thing that's absolutely factual is the fact that both teams have had good seasons, and Rangers have obviously got the potential to be a lot better with a Europa final on Wednesday and a Scottish Cup final the following weekend. I do look at it though, is that, I mean, 2003 is remembered for Celtic and Seville. Rangers won the title that year. 2008 is remembered for Rangers and Manchester. Celtic won the title that year. So I do think, if Rangers go on to win the Europa League final, I do think that's what's going to be remembered for this year.
Lots of football still to be played, of course. Thank you to Trevor. Wish your son safe travels and the rest of you when you join up. Let's bring in Robert in Killearn. How are you, Robert?
How you doing? How you doing, pal? How
good, thanks. Good.
Andy, how you doing, you?
Good.
How you doing?
I managed to get a free ticket. Saturday, she's a ticket holder for years, and Saturday, 6 o'clock, didn't think I was getting one, and email came through, got a ticket. No flights, nothing booked. And my long suffering wife done her magic and managed to get me flights. So I'm flying from Manchester Monday tea time to Bologna in Italy, spending the night in the airport. Tuesday flying to Malaga, spending the night in Malaga. Wednesday train down to Seville, and Thursday, the way back from Malaga, I'm having to stop in Morocco.
You know when you've left the continent, Hugh, that you're sort of
that
pushing the boundaries here.
Morocco, Eindhoven, back to Manchester. Can't wait.
Morocco to Eindhoven.
How do you go from Seville down to Morocco to get back to
and then to the Netherlands? Andy, what are your family doing wrong? Because everybody here's phoning in to say they've got free tickets and you can't get anyone.
Complimentary tickets from as far as I was concerned, there was only 9,500 Rangers tickets available, and I think already we've heard 3,000 tweets and calls that there's complimentary tickets going about.
Plenty of people will go to Seville minus tickets, with no hope of tickets, but simply to be in Seville when the match takes place.
Doesn't sit well with Gordon, this 40,000 seater for a European final. It's not enough.
Do you know what?
Frankfurt's a big football club. You see the travelling support that they took over to Barcelona.
Did you see the tweet from Derek Ray, who we often get on? And by the way, hopefully we'll speak to Derek soon, because we always do when German teams are involved. 100,000 ticket requests Frankfurt have had.
Yep. And apparently took 15,000 over to Barcelona for the new camp as well. Had a lot sitting in the home end. So I mean, the demands for both sides is crazy, and it's going to a 40,000 seat.
If you have a stadium in Seville, the one in which Celtic played Porto, if you have that stadium in Seville and it's considerably bigger than the one that Rangers are going to play Frankfurt in, why? I mean, it's the same city. Why is it not in the bigger ground?
I mean, even in the space of that journey from 2003 to now, there are so many bigger stadia that have popped up. You wonder if they would look at, you know, for a European final now, could you not do a minimum of 60,000? And you don't actually eliminate too many. Sorry, Hamden, I've just done you out of hosting another one. But given there are so many now that are massive, because you know what, at the turn of the century, maybe there weren't. But now, surely you've got to be looking at a minimum of 60 for a major European final.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're looking at even at 60, you know, there's still a large proportion of tickets going to corporate.
Oh, look at the Champions League final.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's best case scenario. Like you said, there's so many new stadiums in sort of every country across Europe now. So, I do think there has to be a threshold in terms of a minimum seats required to host one of these finals.
I'm going to try my best to keep note and pick my favourite travel story, but I feel like Robert's certainly a contender. I think if you leave the continent just to get there or get back, that's quite something. Again, Robert, is it just all eyes now on that? Did you pay much attention yesterday? Does it matter to prolong Celtic's wait any?
Well, if nothing else, it means then you've not given them a party. And personally, last Sunday, Celtic Park, we still beat them, we didn't, and we can't stop them winning the league. But if we win this, then you know and everybody else knows that this is the only story. And this, leagues can come and go, cups will come and go. This will never be bettered, in my opinion, and this will never be better in my lifetime. And I've followed Rangers for 35 years, I was in Manchester, didn't get a ticket. For all the games, he didn't get a ticket. This makes up for the lot.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know, because we would have said and never in our lifetime will a Scottish club even make a European final again. No. And Rangers have surprised us. So
which
maybe
is why
should,
I managed to go. So I was
we should let
lucky.
Never say never. And Hugh, like, I know this is Glasgow and it's fine. That's the way it works. No one is going to even attempt to diminish how big it would be if Rangers win a European final. There is a scenario where you're allowed to say that was quite good that Celtic won the league as well.
Yeah,
we just don't do that. We're always looking to sort of take one. Of course, the size of a European achievement, everybody gets that.
In the world of bragging rights, then they must each have their own opinion. As I say, Celtic's achievement, if you put it into compartments, Celtic's achievement is astonishing. From Ange Postecoglou's starting off point until Wednesday night at Tannadice, it's an amazing achievement, and that's why you get two Manager of the Year awards. You cannot put Rangers into another compartment and not stand back and say a Scottish club in a European final is astonishing.
So Robert's from Killearn, but at various points in the next few days he can be found in Manchester, Bologna, where was the other one? Morocco, Eindhoven, somewhere else in Spain, Malaga. Anyway, thank you to Robert.
Good luck
on the line.
Getting back if they win. And he's had a few shared bits, by the way, because I don't know.
Do you want me to make you sick?
No.
Tough.
Okay.
It was a loaded
cold
question.
Cold beans are coming out. Oh. Chris and Mayo.
I told this at the weekend that you were busy. I went out for breakfast on Sunday, and the guy in the cafe came out and just like unprompted, I hadn't spoke to him, I didn't know who he was, I didn't think he knew anything about me. And he goes, by the way, I've got a tub of cold beans back there, if you could take them in for you. Anyway, David Rayburn booked Malaga weeks ago with my son, so got cheap flights. my other son, who's a Celtic fan, transferred us money to say fair play on getting there. I tried to buy full price tickets but couldn't get them. Ended up with free tickets. Hotel under £100, cheapest final ever.
Wow. Can I tell you a quick story?
Absolutely.
We've got time.
That's why you're here.
So I group my friends here. You'll love this one. Obviously my little brother, a couple of friends were booking. They were booking a flight to Seville the day before the game, because the logic is, if Rangers go on and win the semi-final, the prices are going to shoot up. One of my friends decided to, the flight was £60 return. One of my friends decided to instead put that £60 on Rangers to qualify at 41, then book the flight, and then the rest of the money makes his profit. The flights the next day were £550. So he lost out in 200 quid.
Please gamble responsibly. That's always the message.
Was he sitting the maths exam that you failed?
Probably. And he's not a football player, by the way, in case there's any rumours.
Brad says, my boy's under 8's training's been cancelled next Wednesday because all the coaches have got free tickets, but I'll take training because I'm a Hearts fan. So there we are. Yeah. He's of the Andy Halliday.
He's got one eye in the 21st, that man.
School of thought, quite right too. 01419511025. Celtic fans, what did you make of the weekend? In a roundabout way, you generally like to wrap up the league sooner, but would you prefer to do it on your own terms on Wednesday rather than, you know, just do it because Rangers sort of, you know, dropped points yesterday? Has it worked out for the best? I don't know. You know more about these things and how they work than me, so let us know. 01419511025. What did you make of it? An impressive performance at the weekend. Now's a good time to call. I'm just going to run this by you first.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Golden goals.
What a few weeks we've had on golden goals, by the way. Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
What a few weeks it's been, because we've had a flurry for Celtic and Rangers in the last week, really, and it's up to total to £32,750. That is a massive amount of cash. I feel like this has crept up on us because we started with a grand in January.
I have a question for you. In the Europa League final, you were paying £500 a goal when Celtic played Rangers, mm-hmm. or Rangers played Celtic. So in the Europa League final, what's a goal worth there?
It's a good question. It's a good question. We will reveal that soon. But every time Celtic or Rangers score, basically from now until the end of the season, it's at least 250 into the jackpot. Loads of games left, so that 32,750 will be much bigger by the end of the season. But there's no point in leaving it to then. Don't be that guy that misses out because you forgot to text. Text goal to 61025. G-O-A-L to 61025. £2 plus your standard message rate to text. Over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close at 6 p.m. Saturday the 21st of May. So for your chance to be the winner, make sure you text GOAL to 61025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's continue looking back on the weekend's talking points. There's lots of looking forward being done as well. I must admit, the amount of stories out there of personal circumstance, of journeys, everything to do with Seville, it's quite incredible. And we will do more, I'm absolutely certain of it. But Celtic fans, I want to know what you made of the weekend's performance. I want to know if in a roundabout way you would rather wait. Would you rather wait until Wednesday and do it in your own terms than having had Dundee United sneak a draw or whatever yesterday? How does that work? Pick up the phone and let us know. Ange Postecoglou was delighted with the performance after coming from behind to beat Andy Halliday's Hearts. Nothing to do with him, he was injured. The manager says there were some early nerves though when they went behind.
The thing is that, you know, under different circumstances, different scenario, we knew today was obviously significant. And, you know, you could sense that there was a nervousness, you know, even around the stadium. So all those factors, it's how people deal with it. But as I said, I never had any doubts. I mean, it didn't worry me, but I'm sure people were looking to see how we respond. And again, like I said, this group has found a way to respond, but not veering away from, like I said, from the basic values and fundamentals we have as a football team.
Did they still drag injured players along? Tell me you didn't have to sit at Celtic Park in with the fans and watch your team getting hammered at the weekend.
Well, I mean, if I'm injured, I would always go and watch my teammates, but Lee McCullough suggested it's maybe better to miss out that one, and I absolutely bit his hand off at the suggestion.
On a semi-serious note, what was the inside track on the game or how you felt it went?
I thought our game plan looked pretty clear. We wanted to go and try and disrupt Celtic. We know they're a very good side if they get into the flow, and we try to disrupt that by pressing them high, making it difficult for them. And I think the manager made a great point in his post-match interview by saying the goal looked as if it almost came too early, because as players, sometimes you naturally try and hold on to what you've got. And to be honest, Celtic after the first 15 minutes were excellent. I think there's a lot of facets to this Celtic team that are really good. One thing you probably don't see enough is how good they are in transition, just with the fact that how much they have the ball in a lot of games. But I think in the second half, any time we seem to have sort of control of the pitch and had the ball further up the field, they can just count you within seconds, and 2-3 passes they're in on goal. And I think we were obviously disappointed with the first goal, felt it was a foul, but I don't think there's any doubt in the balance of play that Celtic deserved to win.
You know, there is a school of thought that says getting over the line is hard, and psychologically, and you know, maybe nerves do creep in and whatever else. But did that seem like a Celtic team that is just foot to the floor and is going to, knows what needs to be done?
Yeah, listen, I can understand that Ange Postecoglou feel that way, but I do feel as if we deserve credit as well in the way we've approached it and tried to get after them. But the same breath, we're also disappointed in ourselves that sort of relying on that and sitting in and allowing Celtic to do what they do, because when they're on top, I mean, there's no beating around the bush. They're an excellent team, and if you're wanting to go and get something in Glasgow against the Old Firm, you need them to have an off day, and they certainly didn't have that.
Goals and transitions, and that's all very well and good, but you like the sound bites from the managers here, and I know that Ange left you with one at the weekend that was right up your street.
The one about tottering over the line or going through it at speed. I think Celtic would have preferred, not necessarily Ange Postecoglou, because he tends to rise above all this kind of thing, but I think Celtic fans would have preferred that Celtic beat Rangers at Celtic Park and became champions. The game was a draw, and so we go on. I think they'll settle for a win at Tannadice. That's going through the tape at speed, and then they can have their party 12:15 Saturday.
I also think that Celtic fans, for the first time ever, undoubtedly wanted Rangers to win yesterday.
Do you think so?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think there's any doubt, because, I mean, we're talking about now they've got the chance to have their party on the night, watching their team play on the field. And, I mean, we're talking about, obviously, Rangers fans trying to get tickets for Europa League final. Tickets for Tannadice will be gold dust. Well, listen, I don't think they're going to be going via Morocco to get there, but
you never know.
There'll be a lot of requests trying to get tickets for that
there's
game.
There's actually an issue there. I don't know if you've seen that story breaking this afternoon. Dundee United have had to, I think, sort of stop selling them and void some of them because there are concerns that lots of Celtic fans are going to pop up in the home end. So that's one to keep an eye on. Well, let's ask Kevin. Kevin's a Celtic fan on the line. I can't believe I just heard that from Andy Halliday. Kevin, did you want Rangers to win yesterday so that you can have your own party on Wednesday night?
Mate, I was rough as a badger yesterday, so I didn't even know they were playing, to be honest. So
please drink responsibly. Yeah. Come on, don't do that to me on here. But seriously, there is the chance to officially wrap it up then on Wednesday. You must be looking forward to that.
I'd prefer to win it on our end. You know what I mean? We've had a good night up in Dundee before winning the league. The last time, I think, I think it was the season Tommy Bunce passed winning when Big Jan scored in the last minute. So it'd be nice to go up there and win it again. I think my point was just.
Well, listen, Kevin, there's plenty of time to make multiple points. Don't worry, I will certainly let you back in. Hugh, it's funny, Tannadice has played a key role in big, significant title wins over the years. Yeah. Producer Callum's face again. Sorry to remind him.
Just the way it is.
Nine
Rangers,
in a row
Rangers
for Rangers.
Nine in a row, yeah. Brian Laudrup's header. The night that Kevin's talking about, 2 days after Tommy died, Celtic went there. The atmosphere, I was working at the game, and the atmosphere was spine tingling at Tannadice that night. And so Celtic will go there with the greatest respect to Tam Courts, who's done a terrific job with Dundee United. I don't think they've got much left in the tank, and I think that Celtic will want to go through that tape at speed, as Ange Postecoglou said. And then the Celtic fans who are in Dundee can party. The Celtic fans who are in Glasgow will make their own arrangements, and then they can have the big ceremony at Celtic Park on Saturday.
What was the other point, Kevin?
I had a couple. The main one was just this season. I think the job that Ange Postecoglou has done is, for me, is right up there with the brilliant job that Brendan Rodgers did in his first season domestically. I would put that right up against Brendan's, because if you look at the hand that Ange Postecoglou was dealt, hardly any pre-season. He's lost his top scorer, he's lost Scott Brown, the CEO. Then he's going to get another CEO, then he leaves dead quick. He said they signed 15 new players, guys coming from other continents, never mind other countries. And as I said to your producer, let's not kid ourselves. We were up against a strong Rangers side, a settled Rangers side. And I think if every Celtic fan was honest, me certainly, I didn't think. I just wanted to get the points gapped into single figures. That was it. Maybe win a couple of Old Firm games, but close the points gap a wee bit and finish a strong second, if you like. And that would have done in terms of, you know, a transition period. I would have accepted that. So for us to win a trophy after 5 months, be 6 points behind or 7 points behind, whatever it is at the turn of the year, and then turn that around, and now we're sitting, you know, 90 minutes away from winning the league, is incredible, which is why I think it's right up there with Brendan Rodgers. That was my main point. I did have another small one just about Kenny Miller.
If
you take the point about Brendan Rodgers in his first season, I think Ange Postecoglou's first season is a bigger achievement than Brendan Rodgers. Brendan was big in British management. He'd been the Liverpool manager. He'd had lots of experience. He had that Celtic background. But Ange came in here from Japan, and he did not have any of his own people with him. And he came into a club that was troubled. And I'm talking about the fans. The fans were in dispute with the club. The fans were mutinous. The fans had occupied the car park to exhibit their unhappiness. He came into all of that, lost 3 of his first 6 games, but kept calm. And after those first 6 games, he went on this run that's now 30 games long, 5 draws, 25 wins, and he'll want to beat Dundee United to maintain that run. And then at Celtic Park on Saturday, they haven't lost a single home game, not one, and he'll want to maintain that record. So for me, taking all things into account, Brendan Rodgers was a superb Celtic manager, but I think Brendan's first season is not as good as Ange Postecoglou's first season.
Yeah, I mean, treble and led into the Champions League qualification. But I think a key point, maybe, Andy, that Kevin makes also is because of what we've just been talking about in Seville, Celtic fans know they've had to beat a good Rangers team to do this. A Rangers team that absolutely raced to the league last season and who's clearly still got a bit about them this season if they're in a Europa League final. So it kind of underlines your achievement. You know, we've spent so long in the last few years basically, you know, the team that doesn't win the league saying, we were a shambles anyway. What do you expect? We were miles off. You couldn't beat us when we were strong. But they're both strong this year. And domestically, obviously, Celtic have come out on top.
It's a bigger achievement for me, Ange Postecoglou, in his first season. I mean, Brendan Rodgers' first season, a treble, which was great, but competed against a well below par Rangers team. They were heavy favourites going into the season. I don't think anyone, whether it's a pundit, a journalist, a fan, fancy Celtic to win the league this season. I think Rangers were heavy favourites, and we're talking about a 25 point swing from last year. In fact, sorry, forgive me, even more than that, Rangers 51. Won the league by 25 points last year. So the fact that he's came and turned it around in his first season, recruited extremely well, and on top of that lost the likes of Odson Edouard, Christoph Ayer, Ryan Christie. People can say what they want in terms of their season last year, but these were key players for Celtic. And the fact that they left the football club, he came in and brought in his own players, he's done a fantastic job.
I just like that you've just given Christopher Ayer like 3 other names and not actually settled
six
on
goals
what he's actually.
Missed my English exam as well.
Right, Kevin and Motherwell seems to have gone, which, with no offence to Kevin, might be a blessing in disguise because I'm a bit late for this. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Sandy Halliday's favourite time of the week. It is Beat the Pundit. Let's hear from you if you fancy getting one over on him or Hugh Keevan's. Bit of an extra incentive for you this week as well. Oh. Not only are we talking bragging rights and a signed ball, I don't know if you're aware that June sees the return of the Summer Night Race Meeting at Ayr Racecourse. It's the 17th and 18th of June. Tickets are available to buy online, but we've got a pair to give away every night this week just for taking part in Beat the Pundit. And listen to this, Hugh Keevans. There's entertainment, including a DJ set from Gok Wan.
Oh, fine. I'm out.
No,
that
you have to talk this up. Come on, that sounds good.
I'm sure he's very good.
Does he play the... sort of Tony Bennett, do you think?
No, I mean, boom, boom.
Jody Mitchell, nothing up your street.
It'd be Bowie Light.
Anyway, just by taking part, you get those tickets as well. But of course, the sign ball, the bragging rights are there. You do need to call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. Beat the pundits next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Andy Halliday are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are looking back on the weekend. We're looking forward to Seville. We're talking about planes, trains, boats, bikes, walking trips. It's all there. And I get a funny feeling it's going to continue for the next few days. Celtic fans, we've just been hearing from Ange Postecoglou as well. So get your thoughts in. How do you feel about at least being able to do this in your own hands? Now, of course, you could have won the title at the weekend, but is it better just to wait a couple of days and do it on your own terms? Pick up the phone and let us know. Now, where are you Motherwell fans? Come on, indulge me here. We've been quick enough over the last few weeks to get the sort of Alexander must go calls, but all of a sudden you're having to panic and look out the passports if it stays this way. So pick up the phone and talk to us, and we will play this first.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ah, new week on Beat the Pundit. You can't beat it. Let's bring in Stuart in Barrhead. How's it going, Stuart?
Not too bad, Gordon. Not too bad.
I've got a plan for you, Stuart. Win the sign ball, you'll be able to auction it off for about £7.50, and you can put that towards a £5,000 flight to Seville. How does that sound?
That's not bad. I'll get me the train into Central. That's a
guy. get the first leg. There won't even be a return either, the way it is at the moment. Stuart, anyway, look, you're a winner already, even if this goes south from here. You're going to get a pair of tickets to the summer night race meeting at Ayr Racecourse in mid-June. How does that sound?
That's what I was phoning for anyway. So
well, that's why we do it. Good stuff. Beat the Pundit's popular enough, but if you can add a wee incentive in there, it always works out nicely. So Stuart, I don't know how you'd feel. I mean, I know you're a Rangers fan. Does that mean you want to take on Andy, or you'd rather just stick the boot into Hugh Keevans? How does it work?
No, Andy, I'm wee friendly against Andy.
Friendly, right, okay.
I'm hopeless anyway, so yeah, Andy an easy win, so there you go.
Right, heads it's Hugh, tails it's Andy. You've played the last few weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I think so. You're the only one I think that actually enjoys playing on here. That's heads this week. Gordon DL is somewhere shouting furiously at his smart speaker because it does always seem to land on heads, yeah. But when he's not here.
Yeah, because it's always tails. I don't know what he's
talking about. I don't know. Anyway, right, Stuart, I can't give you your friendly wish, but I've given you, and no offence to Hugh, an easier chance of winning, let's be honest. So let's give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he doesn't steal the answers. Stuart, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and you can pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay,
right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Celtic manager signed Stephen Presley and Derek Riordan?
Gordon Strachan.
Who scored Rangers' second goal against Dundee United yesterday?
Ahmed Diallo.
Which player has more Scotland caps, Sean Maloney or Charlie Mulgrew?
Charlie Mulgrew.
Who managed St Mirren when they won the championship in 2018?
Oh, pass.
Which English club was Ian Cathro most recently assistant manager with?
Sunderland.
Which side did Shota Averladze join Rangers from in 2001?
Ajax.
Name either side. Did we start that? Yeah. Name either side who'll compete in the Europa Conference League final.
Roma.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Warning, tough tonight, I think, some of them. Sorry to say that to you. You ready?
Okay,
let's go. Which Celtic manager signed Stephen Presley and Derek Riordan?
Gordon Strachan.
Who scored Rangers' second goal yesterday?
Diallo.
Which players get more Scotland caps, Sean Maloney or Charlie Mulgrew?
Sean Maloney.
Who managed St Mirren when they won the Scottish Championship in 2018?
Danny Lennon.
Which English club was Ian Cathro most recently assistant manager with?
Wolves.
Which side did Shota Averladze join Rangers from in 2001?
Pass.
Name either side who'll compete in the Europa Conference League final.
Leicester City.
Okay, let's bring in Stuart. Stuart, what's the verdict?
Oh no, I think he's done me about one, I think, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. I wonder if that last answer caught you out. They lost in the semi-final. Okay, let's go through them. You both knew Gordon Strachan signed Stephen Presley and Derek Riordan. Thought that was good. Rangers' second goal was Ahmed Diallo. Both got that. That's a good standard we've got on our hands here. It's a 50-50 between Maloney and Mulgrew. The verdict from Stuart was that it was Charlie Mulgrew. You thought it was Sean Maloney. And you got it right, Hugh. He's got three more, 47-44. Would you have got that, Andy?
Yeah, I've wrote them down, sorry.
Now, St Mirren's championship winning manager in 2018?
Jack Ross.
Jack Ross. So none of you got that. Ian Cathro most recently with?
Tottenham.
Spurs. Yeah, none of you got that either. So are we still level? No, Hugh's one in front. Averladze joined Rangers from Ajax. Stuart equalises. Name either side who'll compete in the Europa Conference League final. It's Feyenoord or Roma. Stuart's done you at 94th minute winner.
Well done. Well done, Stuart.
Well done, Stuart. Now you've got the tickets to Ayr Racecourse. You can auction off the sign ball and get your train fare to Glasgow Central as well.
Thanks very much.
Good man, Stuart.
Thanks very much.
Good effort. Bad news though. Stuart is buzzing. I like that. It means a lot to people. That. Three sign balls left. It's all we've got between now and the end of the season.
Because I was getting 10 out of 10 this
week. So whoever loses after that, the pundit has to buy their own ball. That's the way it's going to have to be. We've rooked producer Callum. Right. See these extra long shows where we get burritos delivered and all sorts. It's done in the budget this season. Did you get them all right?
I was a 10 out of 10 this week, all day.
Well, how many did you get through?
What was that, 7?
Right, okay, let's go on. Who does Ethan Erahon currently play for?
St Mirren.
Which country does Victor Wanyama currently play in?
Kenya.
Nope.
Oh, playing? See you later. No, wait, let me go again.
No. First answer. Not so smart now. It's Canada. Do you know what?
I knew that as well.
I've done producer Callum in because see the questions we don't get through. He just uses them the following day. Oh. Now he can't because I've gone and read them out. So there we go. Earn your money. Thank you to Stuart on Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. Keep your calls coming. Your tweets as well at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou, actually, before we take a call. I didn't get through this in the first hour of the show. He's looking forward to Wednesday's game. I think everyone knows now the scenario. It's very straightforward. The point's enough. And even after that, it's probably done anyway. But here's what he had to say.
We're looking forward to Wednesday. I said to the boys before the game that, you know, there are many ways you can finish something off. You know, go through that finishing tape and you can collapse through it, or you can go through it at top speed, and you know that's what we want to do. That's what we've been doing all year, and you know we want to go hard on Wednesday and then get back up here and go hard again the last game. I'll win it any old way, mate. It doesn't really bother me. I think, you know, as I said, for us what's important is that I think we've earned it this year, and we continue to earn it. We're not collapsing over the line, or you know, we're strong. We're committed to something, and our performances and the challenges we're overcoming is reflecting that. So any way it comes, I think, is fine, and more importantly, I think it's fully deserved.
Well, the strange thing about Celtic Dundee United games is that the two at Celtic Park were incredibly close, and it took Khalil Abada to get Celtic 3 points and time added on. But when they went to Tannadice earlier in the season, they had one of their very best performances of the season. Tom Rogic scored the goal that was later voted by his fellow players in the PFA.
It was fans that voted it, just so that I'm keeping you right.
As the goal of the season. Liam Scales scored a terrific goal up there. And so I think Ange Postecoglou and the players will be looking forward to Wednesday night's match to get this over the line. As he said himself, I'll win it any old way, mate.
I don't think we're seeing anything new when we bring up Celtic's recruitment, Andy, but again, just a reminder of it on Saturday, where Celtic score four: Maeda, Kyogo, O'Reilly, Jackie Marcus. You know, Kyogo and Jackie Marcus done early, Maeda and O'Reilly added in January, all four of them new signings. That's just the way it's been, hasn't it?
Yeah, and he's done it in a lot less of time than probably most has predicted. We thought it was going to take him at least 3-4 transfer windows with the amount of players that were leaving Celtic, the amount of players that were projecting that were going to come in. But the fact of the matter is, everyone that he's brought in, both for certainly for the most part, has made a positive impact. And like he says, they do deserve it. After three defeats in the first six league games of the season, to go 30 unbeaten from then, yeah, they fully deserve to go on and win the league.
All right, let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan. What's your point tonight, John?
It's a bit of Rangers fan tonight. They're a bit cocky. You'll get asked to write a little bit the next Wednesday. They've not won nothing yet. This team will turn. This team that say they're playing the finals already, they beat Barcelona. Right, Barcelona's been bad, and then West Ham. They could end up winning nothing. Could end up winning nothing. Two cup finals. I've seen it happen before. Helicopter Sunday. Celtic won nothing. Oh, never won nothing. We lost the league that year. But we're going to my team. What a turnaround that man's done. We'll go to Tannadice on Wednesday night.
Hold on though, John. You can't just drop that bombshell and move on. Surely it's still a good achievement getting there. That's all the fans are happy about, is it not?
It's a great achievement getting there, but it's just, it was a funny old game. They've got a cup win. They've still got to play this German team.
Did you say in the middle of it that Frankfurt will turn Rangers over?
No, I didn't say they'll turn them over, no. But the way these Rangers fans are talking tonight, it's going to be before the final, man. They're not going to a final for nothing either. They waited 42 years to get a final, so it's game on, mate.
The Celtic fans have got to cling to the hope that Rangers lose.
That's John Dooney's Ange Postecoglou impression there. That's my wee mate at the end. Doesn't just sound the same when you're from Greenock.
Just the way it works in not only this city, but in this country. The Celtic fans are clinging to the hope that that Rangers lose to Frankfurt in Seville. They're clinging to the hope that Frankfurt can maintain their Europa League form, where they beat the likes of Barcelona home and away. They beat West Ham home and away. So they are unbeaten in the Europa League. I happen to think, I look at them and think, how did they get to a European final? However,
because of the league form, you mean?
The way they looked second half against West Ham, and 11 were playing 10. West Ham had the player sent off and looked a better team than them. However, John is one of the Celtic fans who is clinging to the hope that Frankfurt come out the traps on May 18 and win. He's factually correct in saying that Rangers have won nothing yet. They have still to play Hearts in the Scottish Cup final, which comes immediately after the Europa League final. So it is factually correct to say they have won nothing. But the Celtic supporters on the night of May 18 will be fervently hoping that the Scottish team loses.
Andy, I'm not sure we even have heard any confidence, because I don't remember even talking about the game. We've just really spoke about, you know, the journey and the achievement in getting there. I don't know if we covered off whether Rangers are favourites or not, but I wonder if it does feel a bit strange. If Scottish clubs getting to European final is, you know, so rare and so unheard of, it must then follow that it's a bit weird where you now look at Frankfurt and where they are. And yes, John's right, fair enough, but it's certainly doable. Could you have imagined Rangers getting to a final and then having an opponent where genuinely a lot of people will believe that it's, you know, perfectly doable?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Rangers and Celtic get to any cup domestically, you always hear managers and players say the job's not done yet, you've got to go and lift the silverware, and that's true. But I mean, the achievement alone to get to a European final, when you look at the financial disparity like we've talked about for the teams they've played against, Dortmund, Leipzig, I mean, Rangers' total value of players that were starting against Leipzig was £11 million. I mean, compare that to Leipzig and Dortmund, I mean, the difference is remarkable. But on paper, and if you believe the bookmakers, Frankfurt are actually still the favourites. But I mean, Rangers have got to take a lot of confidence in knowing that they beat Dortmund, they beat Leipzig in the same league, and Frankfurt are sitting 10th. But listen, they're certainly not going to be any mugs. Like Hugh says, they beat the likes of Barcelona and they beat the likes of West Ham to get there. So it will be a good game, and I'm sure we'll do our predictions and analysis when the time
absolutely
comes.
John, you could probably still get a Frankfurt top before then, couldn't you?
I'll get a Frankfurt hot dog in next Wednesday night. That's what I'll be getting, a Frankfurt hot dog and a big pint of German beer when I'm celebrating. No, it's the season. What happens if they get beat in two games? Is that a bad season for them? Is that a bad season?
Well, yeah, again, factually, if Rangers lost both games and had no trophies to show for the season, then of course, yes, that's a bad season.
I mean, there are degrees of bad, though, aren't there? We like to pretend that everything's black and white. It would still be, reaching a European final, still good within that.
Yeah, but if you lose it, the sense of devastation among the Rangers fans, either those who are in Seville or here or anywhere else in the world, if Rangers failed to win the Europa League final and the Scottish Cup final, then a trophy-less season is a bad season.
What do you think, Andy? Because you made the point earlier, you know, Seville is highly thought of, you know, among Celtic fans to get there, didn't win anything that season. Manchester's a bit different, because although Rangers lost the league, they did not win two cups.
Yeah, I think if Rangers do lose the Europa League final and go on to win the Scottish Cup, I do think it's still a good season. I mean, you've reached a European final. It's something that's we've been a bit spoiled, actually, because that's the third time since 2003. But you look at the
But there'll still be room for criticism in there because of the league and so on.
At the start of the season, the Old Firm are judged on that, how many silverware they pick up at the end of the season. And with Ange Postecoglou's side closing in on the league already, get the League Cup under their belt, I'm sure Rangers will certainly be looking to add silverware from now to the end of the season.
I've got a tweet from Michael here. I wonder if this is the preferred outcome for you. I don't think you'll quite be getting a hot dog and a German beer.
You know what my preferred outcome is, you don't need to ask.
Michael says, I hope the final in Seville goes to extra time and penalties, and then Rangers win it in penalties, but they're shattered for the Scottish Cup final against us 3 days later.
Yeah, says I take extra time, Rangers to win 8-1 in extra time.
Is that a good outcome?
And then the Jambos win the Scottish Cup final. That'd be lovely.
Fair enough. Enjoy the hot dog, John. Well, short and sweet. That was John in Greenock. 01419511025. Got a really good full time teaser, if I do say so. Tough, reflected by the fact that you don't need many answers. Keep your calls coming. By the way, we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday's here. So is Hugh Keevans. It's 01419511025. Or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Now, we've got Chris in Dumbarton who sent this question in tonight, and I really like it. Thank you to Chris. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. It's just topical in a few ways. Craig Gordon, your teammate, the Scottish Football Writers Player of the Year. Did you know that this month is the 18 year anniversary of his Scotland debut? 18 years ago, fresh faced. Six of his teammates from that day have gone on to manage in Scotland. Can you name them?
You're going to need to say that again for me, I'm sorry.
Craig Gordon's Scotland debut.
Yep.
18 years ago against Trinidad and Tobago.
2004.
Six of his Scotland teammates who started that day have gone on to manage in Scotland.
Sean Maloney.
No. I think it's really tough.
Paul Hartley.
No.
Stephen Presley.
Yes. Well done. I like, see when it's like this, you know,
Kenny Miller?
No. You know that it's tough because we're only looking for six. Sometimes we go 10 or 12. And I'll give you, for instance, also in that
Graham
team.
Graham Alexander.
No. Not that it would help you, but James McFadden was in it. So we've not included, well, he's not managed in Scotland. Nigel Quasi was in there.
Gary Naismith?
No. There are a couple of absolute crackers in
they
there.
They don't have to manage in the top flight, no, just in Scotland.
For what it's worth, most of them have actually managed in the top flight, but no, it's not critical.
We'll get this.
All right. Just because I do detect this is quite difficult.
No, we'll get this.
You sure?
Yep, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Okay, any more guesses, Hugh?
Derek McInnes?
No. Right, we'll see how we get on. That's fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's how you submit a question, and hopefully we can read it out on the show. So thanks again to Chris and Dumbarton. Let's go from Dumbarton to Stirling. We've got Brian there, who's got some points for the panel. Brian,
how's it going, guys? You okay?
Not bad, how are you?
I'm not bad, guys. I would just like to ask the panel a quick question, guys. And this isn't being derogatory towards Rangers in any way, but I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time a team, any European team in my lifetime, getting to a European final without beating either an English, a Spanish or an Italian team, probably the two top three leagues in world football. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think Rangers this year have been, you can only beat who's in front of you guys, so credit where credit's due, but I mean, I really think that Rangers this year have been very, very fortunate in their run to the Europa League final. They've not really faced, in my opinion, top teams. And before, like Andy and the guys and that jump in and say, well, we beat Dortmund. I mean, Dortmund, in my opinion, have not been great this year. I can think of five or six times this year, and just off the top of my head, where they've actually been battered 3 or 4-0 off other teams. I mean, I can remember watching Ajax batter them 4-0. I can remember watching other teams in the German league give them a right good doing this year. And I was actually listening to like Paul Scholes on BT in one of the Champions League nights, guys, and he was actually talking about the standard of German football, and he said it was quite poor. So for me, I think Rangers have been incredibly lucky this year to get to the Europa League final, and I just want to hear what the guys have got to say about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be accurate, Ajax, Benfica, Marseille, they've all done that recently, got to European finals without facing an English, Spanish or Italian team, just since Brian asked the question.
There are two things that are allowable here. One, as I said to the earlier caller, Celtic fans must hope that Rangers slip up in Seville. That's the 99.9% of the Rangers support, Celtic support, hope that Rangers fail in Seville.
Has Brian been harsh?
Brian's been harsh because the other thing that they have to cling to is that the teams they played were rubbish anyway. You know, it just doesn't wash. You know, you're having Rangers play the third team from the Bundesliga. I don't care what Paul Scholes says about the Bundesliga. They come from a higher brand of football than the Scottish League. So what Rangers have done is undeniable. To take away or attempt to take away from what Rangers have done is simply sour grapes and another sign of the fact that the Celtic supporters hoped that Dortmund would do it. They thought Dortmund would do it. That flopped. Then they thought Red Star will take care of them. That flopped. Braga, they weren't sure about Braga, but Braga did beat Rangers in Portugal and then went out in Glasgow. And their last hope was RB Leipzig. And they flopped as well. So you cannot diminish what Rangers have done. You have to be fair. You don't need to like it. You can pray that Rangers lose, but you cannot attempt to diminish what they have done in getting to this final.
Brian, I don't know who you said the German correspondent was that said the Bundesliga is poor right now, but the team that separates in between Leipzig and Dortmund right now are Bayer Leverkusen, and they were pretty good against Celtic this year, I thought.
Yeah, they were that, Andy, but I mean, I'm just stating facts here. I mean, Dynamo Kiev, Sporting Lisbon, I mean, there's a lot of teams this year that have just, like, they've actually battered Dortmund this year. I mean, there's a few other, if you actually look at some of the German results, they've drew with the likes of Augsburg and Cologne and teams like that. I mean, I don't think Dortmund this year have been particularly good. And I think if like any Dortmund fans would happily come on here and tell you that, I mean...
So how do you write off Red Star Belgrade, Braga and RB Leipzig?
Are they at the same standard though as like English teams or Spanish teams? Because I really don't think they are.
Rangers lost to Dundee United. Rangers have lost to Dundee United. They've lost to teams domestically. It's a domestic campaign. That's what happens.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, if you look at the overall picture, like big teams usually when they get to European finals, I mean, I can think off the top of my head the last few years in the final you've had Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Villarreal, Ken, all top teams. This year, none of them have even been in it. So I think Rangers have been incredible. Look at this year because I've never had to verse any of these teams.
I think to use the expression incredibly lucky just makes your argument sound all the more foolish, Brian. I understand that it's under your skin and that the night of May 18 will be a personal torment for you. But you can't come on and say incredibly lucky in the standard of German football. You don't need to want Rangers to win. You can, as I say, pray that Rangers lose, but you can't surely diminish the achievement.
Guys, I've got a guy like Paul Scholes, or, do you know what I mean, far more qualified to talk about that than any of the rest of us, in my opinion. He's coming on and saying the standard's poor.
What did Paul say about Celtic getting out of three European competitions?
We're not talking about Celtic here, though. We're talking about Rangers getting to the Europa League final.
Well, you're leaving yourself open to ridicule because, as I say, I understand that the night of May 18 will be a personal trial for you. But you can't deny that Rangers are there on merit.
Yeah, I mean, Dortmund have got some top quality players. Yeah, they might have lost a couple of games domestically and so what and so forth. But, I mean, the squad throughout, regardless of whether Haaland played both legs or not, they've replaced him with a guy in Daniel Malin, who Dortmund signed for £50 million for PSV. Jude Bellingham, who's arguably one of the best youngsters in world football. Leipzig, littered with players that they've paid fortunes for. And Rangers went with £11 million in terms of budget for a starting 11 and no striker and done them. Incredible achievement. Played some very good opposition. I'd actually argue that Rangers' route to the final is every bit as tough as what Liverpool's has been to go to the Champions League final, because Villarreal, I mean, a lesser Rangers team drew with them twice 5 years ago. They played Benfica. Rangers have beat Benfica. So sometimes you can get a bit of luck in the draw. I actually don't think Rangers have got that. I think Braga, you could argue, in terms of the quarterfinal opponents that were going to be up against, you would say that Braga was probably one that was a bit more favourable compared to the others. But I mean, Dortmund, who in the world predicted Rangers were going to go to against Dortmund? And against Leipzig, no one fancied Rangers to go through to Leipzig either.
I have respect for the bragging rights and respect for the old-fashioned ways, in that you hope that the other lot never win anything, no matter who they're playing, what they're playing in, which country they're playing in. I have respect for that. But you cannot see a Scottish team in a European final in 2022 and attempt to say they've been incredibly lucky and all the teams that they have played against are of questionable standard?
I think you'll need to agree to disagree with them, Brian, but thanks for taking the time. It's 01419511025. Any more on this teaser?
Gary Caldwell.
Yes. Tell you what, Anthony had just sent me that answer as well, and I thought you two would struggle with that. Well done.
I've not really been thinking to, I'm not even just okay, making sure. Barry Nicholson. Is that a great shout? No.
No. All right, I'll give you more time. Don't worry. Don't worry. Plenty more time left. It is just the starting 11, by the way, because Kenny Miller, I think you mentioned, he was on the bench.
Was he? Gary Naismith on the bench?
No. Don't worry about him. Right, let's go to Gavin, who's a Rangers fan in County Down. What does your next couple of weeks look like, Gavin? Are you getting to go to Seville?
Good evening, Gordon, Uncle Chug and Andy, first time caller.
Good to have you.
Listening to the show since way back in the pre-80s with Mr. Sanderson. Been living over here 28 years, originally from Springboig in Glasgow. So you guys have very much kept me in touch with local football. I've been travelling over to all the qualifying games for the Europa League. Was there on Thursday evening. Obviously, I packed Ibrox, I packed Loudon Bar pre-game, and the underground on the way home was, my goodness, rocking and almost claustrophobic. I do a little bit of extras work for the TV movies things over here. Yesterday morning, I had a COVID test for the new Kevin Hart Netflix movie that's shooting over here, and I was supposed to go for a costume fit tomorrow, and after 2 years thinking I'd dodged COVID, I've just tested positive about an hour ago. Absolutely gutted about.
Hold on, so had the test gone the other way, you were going to be in the new Kevin Hart film?
Well, I still might be, actually, because filming is not until the 3rd of June. Tomorrow was merely the costume fit.
The show never fails to amaze me.
I have to be honest, very, very honest with you. I've never heard of Kevin Hart.
You wouldn't.
Gavin, I'll give you £40 for the role.
But the other gag about this is I have a holiday booked next Wednesday.
Oh.
Obviously, the night of the final, major problematic, Dubai for 3 nights and then heading on to the Maldives. We should have been there back in February. My girlfriend got a fantastic promotion at work back in August of last year. We've had to reschedule. Of course, back then, 18th of May didn't really mean much. As the group stages have been going on, or the qualifying rounds, I've been going, Paula, this might have to be changed. But with this new role she's in, holidays cannot be changed. So anyway, I'm heading to Dubai on Wednesday morning. But the funny thing was, after the match, obviously Thursday night, heading back to Belfast, Friday morning, I was in Frank and Benny's, other establishments are available, obviously, at Glasgow Airport, and I'm sitting there just having my breakfast, looking through all the comments and things on social media, and this guy steps up and sits beside me, and I'm kind of going, God, I still really want to talk to you. And he's like, hiya, mate. And he's seen my scarf sitting beside my rucksack, and I says, well, are you all right? He says, well, what a game last night. What a game. I says, yeah, one of the best atmosphere I've ever been at. He says, where are you heading? I says, Belfast. I says, what about yourself? Where are you heading? Dubai. Doesn't he slide your chair over, mate? You could give me some information. So I now know that I'm going to the Donatelli Hotel, sitting with a Dubai loyal next Wednesday evening, watching the game.
This is Gavin's autobiography. I'm hooked here. And he's also, I can't believe he's stealing my lines about other establishments being available. Yeah, this guy's exactly, listened to this show before.
What was Kevin Hart in?
He's a comedian.
Yeah, he's a sort of comedian.
He's in a couple of comedy movies with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. You must know him.
You heard of him?
Yeah. I've heard of him.
You've seen him little.
He's in the new Jumanji films.
Who?
You must
have heard
Jumanji.
Of Jumanji. Robin Williams was in the original one. No?
Last film I saw was Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart.
The board game, they roll the dice and they get like sucked in, and there's elephants and all sorts.
Sounds rubbish.
It's actually really good.
It's actually good.
You seen Get Hard with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell?
Oh, it's not that time for the show.
That's funny. No, it's funny. Don't you start. Don't you lord it on. I don't really know where to begin.
I'm speechless, Gavin. Speechless.
The Europa League final Rangers Kevin Hart crossover is just one that I didn't expect.
What would you rather, Gavin? Would you rather star in the movie or would you rather be going to the game?
Oh, I'd rather be going to the game, mate. 100%.
With Kevin Hart, though.
I was in Manchester.
With Kevin Hart, would be brilliant.
I was in Manchester with my pals. Thoroughly had a great day. Obviously, was at the game that evening. Poor results, but I think we can do it this time. Far better team, you know, far more attacking. And I think it's setting the stars just with the different anniversaries, the 50 and the 150. But fingers crossed. But the gag, obviously, is at the minute with me just getting COVID for the first time.
Yeah, shouldn't really laugh about that, to be fair, on reflection. We wish you well. Yeah. It's just, you know, there were a few other details in the story I forgot. I'd overlooked the COVID scenario.
Yeah, listen, we wish you well. It's still these strange times where it's still floating about and messing up people's plans, but try and find out if Kevin Hart can play striker.
I was going to say, if Kumar Roof doesn't make it, maybe you see if you can get
play up front.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I'm lost for words. Just things
I think that was.
You think you'll get through the Super Scoreboard career without mentioning certain things? Kevin Hart would have been one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Hugh's speechless as well. He's the worst.
Is he Joe's brother?
He's No. There's no resemblance there. I must say, I'll introduce you to some of his YouTube clips at the next break. Are you funny? You're a fan?
Not my type of humour, but he is funny.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't think he'll be your type of humour either, for what it's worth. So we'll leave it there. Thank you to Gavin, famous actor Gavin from County Down. It's 01419511025. Right, we're asking on the teaser tonight. Craig Gordon made his Scotland debut 18 years ago this month against Trinidad and Tobago. Six of his teammates from that day have gone on to manage in Scotland. Anthony is out there giving it a real good go. He's got a second one correct. Milo's throwing some good names in. What else have you two got? You've got Gary Caldwell and Stephen Presley so far.
I've got one great shout and one unbelievable shout. What one do you want first?
I decide if they're great and unbelievable.
What one do you want first?
Let's go unbelievable first.
Mark Kerr.
Nope, on the bench.
Wow. Oh, he was on the bench. I think he was. Great shout then. Take it. Do you want my great shout?
Yep.
Jackie McNamara.
Yes, well done. Hugo?
I'm working on it.
Okay, I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answers next. Keep the calls coming, please. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday are here. It's 0141 951 1025, and it's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Chris and Dumbarton's produced a cracker of a full time teaser tonight. Can you name the six teammates of Craig Gordon who started on his Scotland debut 18 years ago this month against Trinidad and Tobago? And they've also gone on to become managers in Scotland at some point. So Gary Caldwell, Jackie McNamara, Stephen Presley. Now, I had a wee peek at Andy Halliday's paper during the break, and I think you've got an unbelievable shout for us.
Gary Holt.
Magnificent. Oof. I thought you would have been here all night trying to get that. Well done.
Toiling now, though. Two more, yeah?
Two more.
No, struggling.
Kevin McNaughton.
No. I've got a sort of big clue for one of them, but I just don't know if it's...
Who'd be left back?
Too early to dish. No, I think I'll go for it. He's the only one of them who's currently a manager in Scotland. He is very much currently a manager in Scotland. Let's leave that one dangling, see if you can have a nibble. Alex is a Rangers fan from Irvine. What's your point, Alex?
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you, good.
Oh, just a point about... Rangers obviously lost their manager and then had to get another one, and nobody seems to be talking about that after Celtic's obviously going to win the league now.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, there are, I think it has come up over the weekend, but to be fair to Alex, you know, if he didn't catch it, there are a lot of things that people are holding up as extra credit for Rangers, if you like, you know, doing it without a striker or having to change manager mid-season. But then at the same time, to put the other side of it, if you believe, as some people said at the time, that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was an upgrade on Steven Gerrard, we can't then say, oh, you look at plucky Rangers overcoming a change in manager. You have to be sort of consistent with that?
I know it's the fan's point of view, and if a Celtic fan says something, a Rangers fan must respond. But I don't think there is any need on anyone's part to look into Rangers in a European final and examine how they got there, what the circumstances were. You simply stand back and say, I did not see that coming. And nobody saw it coming. But Rangers have got there by their own strength of will. Good performances away from home, very important. Ibrox has been a fortress for them. I know that fans must try and diminish Rangers' achievement.
No, but Alex is a Rangers fan.
I know, and he's looking for ways to accentuate the positive. But
there are always sort of subplots, though, aren't there? Like we said, you can't just say, all right, Rangers have reached the final and then end the discussion. It's relevant to say they've done it without a recognised striker in the last couple of rounds,
isn't
it?
Of course it is. I'm not seeking to end the discussion and say they're in the final, end of story. I'm simply saying that any attempt to downplay it is ludicrous, and Rangers stand by their own record here. The record and the fact that they have done so without their top goal scorer in Europe, it speaks for itself.
Yeah, but I mean, I get maybe Alex is coming from just a general disruption point. You know, changing your manager's not ideal. It's not what you set out to do. But you could argue that Rangers might not have made the final had Steven Gerrard stayed. The group didn't start well.
When Giovanni Van Bronckhorst took charge, Rangers had lost their first two games in the Europa League group stage, so it wasn't looking too promising. Then got a couple of massive results in the second half of the group. He's done a fantastic job, and I think he's changed a lot of opinions in terms of how it went domestically for that sort of period of January, February. And you've got to say what he's done brilliantly in these European games. He's adapted. You know, when games have looked as if they're going to get away from Rangers, he's made these wee tactical tweaks, whether it's been go to three at the back to sort of solidify what they've got or go a bit more adventurous. And talking about the game at Leipzig last week, I felt personally when Leipzig made it 2-1, I feared for Rangers. I thought they looked dead on their feet. I thought Leipzig were going to go on and get the next goal and go through. But how they summoned up the energy and the will and the desire to push on again and get that late goal from John Lundstrom. And I think all the players and including the manager deserve enormous credit.
It's one of these pointless hypotheticals, Alex. I accept that. Do you think Rangers would have reached a final under Steven Gerrard?
I actually don't know. I think I agree with the guys there. Gio's definitely much more tactical astute than Gerrard would have been in Europe. I thought Gerrard had no plan B. He'd done well, obviously Celtic winning 10 their own stuff like that. But I just think that Gio's played for Rangers. He's won things as a manager as well. So I think I'm coming in. That's a future for me personally.
To be fair though, Andy, now to then go back on the other side, this team has got great European experience and know-how because of what Steven Gerrard built.
Yeah, I would try and avoid speculating and doing hindsight with that, because Steven Gerrard done a remarkable job at Rangers, especially in Europe. Some of the runs they went on, some of the teams they beat, and a lot of that, like he says, is down to the European experience that these players have got. And yeah, he's done a fantastic job. I do agree. Listen, Steven Gerrard was very much 4-3-3. Certainly had a certain game plan for different teams, whether that was sort of sit in, try and hit teams in the counter-attack with forward three or high press, get after teams. But Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has certainly adapted a little bit more in terms of changing systems depending on personnel that's available or teams he's playing against. So both can be true. Steven Gerrard done a fantastic job, but Rangers will certainly feel as if they've got a great manager just now as well.
Losing the first two games of the group stage seems like a long time ago.
It's a bit like Celtic losing three of the first six league games.
And recovering, yeah.
You can hardly remember it now because they went on the mazy run of 30 without losing. It does seem a long time ago since that happened. But Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I think this has increased his profile no end. And why would it not? Taking a Scottish club to a European final and the Scottish Cup final in half a season.
Thank you very much, Alex. Nice to hear from you. That was Alex in Irvine, 01419511025. The knowledge amongst our listeners is unbelievable. I already gave Anthony a couple of mentions. He was progressing well on this teaser Milo has stolen in with two. The both remaining answers, they're both tough. Stevie Sneddon's got one of them as well. I'm very impressed.
Callum Davidson.
Craig Gordon made his Scotland debut 18 years ago this month against Trinidad and Tobago. Six of his teammates from that day have gone on to manage in Scotland. Starting 11, I mean, name them. Caldwell, Gary Holt, Jackie McNamara, Stephen Presley.
Callum Davidson.
No.
I've got the one for your clue. His Fife manager.
No.
No, Stevie Crawford, no.
No. Oh yes.
He's his Fife manager.
Oh, so he is. Right, they're both still managing Scotland. Never mind, we'll get it. We'll get it before the end of the show. I'm certain of that now. Right, okay. Let's take a quick whistle stop tour around some of the other talking points from the weekend. Hugh Keevans. Let's start in Dingwall, shall we? Kevin Van Veen's penalty. Gives Motherwell a 1-0 lead against Ross County, leapfrogs them into fifth, which is a European place. So despite all the talk, all the frustration, all the anger, all the negativity about this run that they're on, everyone keeps saying the league table doesn't lie. They're fifth at the moment.
Well, the problem is they'll get nothing in the last two games because they're playing Hearts and Celtic.
Do you want me to point out now that you said they'd get nothing at the weekend, or do I save that for later on?
I'm honestly so gutted he's just said that, because we all know how his predictions turned out. So thank you very much.
And you should have heard them at the weekend. I was trying to be neutral about it, and I said, I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, Motherwell could win today and leapfrog, but they won't, is what he said. I've got it as my ringtone. After the weekend, never learns.
Listen, we spoke about
I'll come back
a couple of years time.
I'll be back for you as well. I'll be back for everybody.
But listen, if they manage to
secure
that now
after fifth, getting it wrong at the weekend,
because he's going to get me a lift home, I hope.
If they manage to secure that European spot, no one's going to remember how they done it, how many wins they got for the calendar year to the end of the season. If they manage to, like I said, secure that European qualification, it's been a brilliant season for Motherwell.
If Celtic's title is all but wrapped up, I can't wait to stop having to qualify it, Hugh, just because it's annoying more than anything. Is Dundee's relegation all but confirmed?
Oh, yeah.
Shall I do it off air again?
Nod, giving us the nod.
12 games under Mark McGee, not one win. The Charlie Adam passback kind of summed up the bizarre turn of events at Dens Park. They'll struggle on, but no, they're down. It's now St Johnstone versus Inverness Cali or Arbroath. That's the intriguing one in the playoff. But Dundee gone.
Yeah, I think need
to win both fairly. Let's not worry about the goal difference too much. I think there's seven in it at the moment. You know, they need to win both and St Johnstone lose both.
Yeah, and I just don't see that happen. If not, I mean, they've been deprived of winning games all season, so I'd be surprised if they then go and secure two in a row and St Johnstone lose both, and Matt McGee will thankfully be keeping his clothes on, hopefully.
Play Hibs tomorrow, yeah. Remember, that's the only outlier. The rest are Wednesday. Dundee v Hibs tomorrow. Yeah, they're not having a great time.
No.
Did Saturday just sort of sum everything up for Hibs and Aberdeen? I mean, they're both in the bottom six. Not a great deal to play for. Hibs are, you know, on the lookout for the new manager at the moment. And it was a draw. It was just
Hibs are having a board meeting tonight to look into this matter in a serious way. They've got a long road back, and so have Aberdeen. It's going to take a tremendous close season of signings for both of them. Ron Gordon has got to get this managerial appointment correct, or he's a three-time loser. Big days for Ron Gordon at Easter Road. But they could beat Dundee tomorrow. My only thinking is that Dundee, if you lose or fail to win any of 12 games in a row, how do you magically come up with two wins back to back in your final two?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, as a neutral, it's great to love the playoffs. If you're a Dunfermline fan right now, you absolutely hate them, detest them, never want to think of them again. John Hughes in charge, Andy, they're a big club and gone at the weekend into League One.
Well, I told you, remember what I told you at the start of the season about my prediction to get promoted?
That's right, you predicted them to win the championship.
So,
you've been sitting beside me for too long.
It's a Hugh Keevans prediction, that's for sure. But, yeah, massive club, really surprised to see them go down. I think not even the manager, but some of the players that they've got, you always felt as if they were almost too good for the championship, and they would see the club back into the top flight potentially. But yeah, really surprised to see them go down.
I feel like John Hughes has got a real distinct split between a real sort of supportive fan club, yeah, who love him and believe in his enthusiasm and are all aboard the John Hughes Express, and those who think he's some sort of figure of ridicule,
well,
at times.
Apparently
he came in and, you know, you can't argue, you know, Falkirk and Inverness, uh-huh, that's the last couple have not gone to plan, and taking Dunfermline down is not great.
Apparently the reaction to the manager at the time up when the Queen's Park beat them at the weekend was venomous, and I don't see how John Hughes can start next season as manager of Dunfermline. I think there's a price to be paid, and regrettably John will have to pay it.
Story of the weekend arguably though was Airdrie dead and buried against Montrose, absolutely dead and buried, pulled it back, took it to extra time, then won comfortably, and now they'll play Queen's Park in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a game I wish I was at. It seems as if it was an absolute cracker with, mm-hmm, when Montrose going a couple of goals up, and yeah, Airdrie managed to do it in extra time. They've had a great season. I've actually heard a lot about them. We've got a boy, Scott McGill, that's on loan at Airdrie. I've heard how good football Ian Murray's got them playing, so yeah, I wasn't too surprised to see them win that tie, but certainly surprised at how it went. It was a real roller coaster.
Right, let's go. Final answer on the teaser. Craig Gordon, Scotland debut 18 years ago this month against Trinidad and Tobago. Six of his teammates from the starting 11 that day have gone on to manage in Scotland. You've got Gary Caldwell, Stevie Crawford, Gary Holt, Jackie McNamara, and Stephen Presley.
Ian Murray.
No, did you think we'd just spoken about him? Still a manager. I don't know if you picked up, maybe I'm not as obvious as I thought I was. When I said very much still a manager, I just meant like, that was me trying to plant a wee seed that he's well known, he's significant, he's up there, he's talked about.
No, can he? Malky Mackay?
It's Malky Mackay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. Well, I would never have got that. 2004. I thought he was about 60.
Malky Mackay. Sorry if you're listening. Here we go. Got there in the end. Thank you to Andy Halliday and to Hugh Keevans. That'll do us for this evening. Enjoyed that show. It was just bizarre. When we spoke about people travelling to Morocco and people starring in movies with Kevin Hart and eating German hot dogs next week. It was just one of those nights. It's going to be like that, I think, for the next couple of weeks. So strap yourselves in. Join us, please, with Roger Hanna and Gordon DL tomorrow. In the meantime, you can just stay right there. Callum Gallagher's got you. He's up next, and we'll speak to you at 6:00.